Us. It's April 7th. This is the Mayor's Health Roundtable. We'll start off with some words from Mayor Perry.
Good afternoon, everybody that's on this on the line today. Once again, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to participate in this very important call. Yes, April 17th, and it was March 17th that the province declared a state of emergency. So, and of course, we were well into this before that. So. We have more news again from the Portland Health Unit with this morning's update, and we've got Dr. Cannon at the line, and I'll hand the phone over to her.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor Perry. So this morning, the Porcupine Health Unit is reporting 4 new COVID-19 cases amongst residents in the health unit area. So we are currently at the number of confirmed positive cases at 49. And as part of that, I think people have been questioning and are understanding that this number is the complete total number of confirmed cases that we have had. So we are at 22 resolved, and so the difference is the numbers that are still active. But the number 49 is the number that we have had confirmed to date over the entire time of monitoring, testing, and responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. There's been 956 tests completed, and currently at 49 cases with 22 resolved and 2 deceased. The 4 new cases include a male in his 30s who was identified as a contact of a case and is currently in self-isolation after being tested on April the 13th and is in the area of Cochrane, Matheson, Iroquois Falls, and Smooth Rock Falls. The next case is a male in his 80s who was unfortunately part of one of the institutional outbreaks. This is an individual who's a resident of Spruce Hill Lodge and has been in appropriate self-isolation. I can assure people that the home is following all of the necessary procedures to protect all residents and staff. And to date, all other tests have come back negative, and we will continue to monitor and work with the home throughout this. But at this point in time, this is the only other case that we have present. And he was tested on the 12th of April. The next one is a male in his 40s. The investigation is ongoing, remains in self-isolation, has been tested on April the 13th, and this case is in the area of Cochrane, Matheson, Iroquois Falls, and Smooth Rock Falls, as is the last case, who is a female in her 30s. She was identified as a close contact of a case and is in self-isolation and was tested on April the 14th. At this point in time, once again, we thank the cases, the contacts, the long-term care homes, all the healthcare partners that we continue to work with to really protect all residents as much as possible to reduce the spread from COVID-19, to investigate and follow up any cases that we have. And we wish the identified cases, their families, and really anyone who's struggling right now, all the best. And we hope everyone continues to do well. The online COVID assessment tool, the self-assessment tool, which we have been promoting quite frequently from the ministry, has now been updated to include the range of symptoms and increased sort of instructions and recommendations. And we encourage people to have a look at that tool once again. It really walks through what the symptoms could be, what types of risk factors individuals may have, including being a healthcare worker or being exposed to other cases, and helps provide some further information and recommendations with respect to potential next steps. Yesterday, the province added over 1,000 acute care beds, over 1,400 critical care beds, And obviously they continue to take steps, and we all do, to ensure hospitals have the staff necessary, as well as long-term care and retirement homes and other congregate living settings, make sure everyone has the capacity, support, and is aware of the steps necessary to reduce the spread and to protect all staff in these settings and all residents in these settings. I again continue to urge absolutely everyone to continue to work together to help us prevent the spread and lessen the flatten the curve for COVID-19 in our areas. We continue to ask people to stay home as much as possible, avoid non-essential trips outside of your home, and avoid non-essential travel and trips between communities. Only go out to get your essentials such as groceries, prescriptions, or for a medical appointment. And when out of the house, please maintain physical distancing. Again, this is 2 meters from others outside of the people that you live with on a daily basis. We understand that this has been a really long and trying time for many and recognize that it is extremely challenging and that people are dealing with many other potential emotional, mental health, other issues dealing with the isolation that this is causing. So please, again, protect yourself, protect your loved ones, protect your neighbors, stay home as much as possible, especially if you are unwell in any way. And please find other ways to make sure you are socially connected. We're providing some posts, and I know there's other supports in town to try and ensure that individuals have the support they need at this time. There are COVID-19 assessment centers now open in Kapuskasing, Timmins, Cochrane, Iroquois Falls, and Horn Payne. And starting next week, Hearst will be open as well. And we just want to again remind people that these centers are run on an appointment basis. And so what we're asking people to do, again, is to call your primary care provider or the Porcupine Health Unit. The COVID information line remains open today from 8:30 to 7:30 at the Porcupine Health Unit. And we will also be open on the weekend, again, from 11 to 3 on both Saturday and Sunday. The important thing to keep in mind is if you are feeling unwell, and please refer to the updated documents that we've provided on the website, the updated screening and assessment tool. It includes a broader array of symptoms at this point in time. And so if you have any of these symptoms, we again remind you to stay home and self-isolate. And because we are right now looking to expand surveillance and testing amongst all individuals across the Porcupine Health Unit, if you have any symptoms, the most important first step is to stay home and self-isolate and not expose anyone else. And the second thing is to call the Porcupine Health Unit or your primary care provider to be booked for an assessment center appointment. And then a clinician will see you and determine if testing is appropriate. Again, this is a time-limited opportunity that we have to really gauge where we're at in the spectrum of the pandemic in the north. And we continue to increase our testing and expand our reach to all communities. And thank everyone for their hard work and time that they're putting into keeping us all safe. So keep physically distanced but socially close. Stay home if you're feeling ill. Wash your hands often and well. Help us stop the spread. Stay kind. We're all in this together. Thank you. Merci. Miigwech.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Catton. I hadn't received any questions from the media in advance. But I wonder if there's any on the line.
Yes, it's Lydia.
All right, go ahead, Lydia.
Hi, thanks, Dr. Catton. I'm just having a moment here. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'll get right to my question. Dr. Catton, you say that you announced the expanded testing. Are people taking advantage of this, or are they making the appointments? What kind of an increase have you noticed since you announced the expanded testing availability?
Hi, Lydia. Thanks for the question. We have seen an increase for sure, and I think as we see the assessment centers open in other communities, that will continue to increase. And so we've announced it on a long weekend, which we recognize is challenging and isn't always easy to facilitate an increase in testing, but we wanted to do it so that the testing centers that were open or the assessment centers that were open, because it's not always that everyone gets tested, that they had the opportunity to fill any capacity. And so we have seen an increase in numbers for sure. We've also seen an increase in numbers related to outbreaks. And so I expect over the next week that will continue to increase, which is a great opportunity for our area.
What do you mean by a great opportunity?
At this point in time, the guidance from the ministry and Public Health Ontario and the testing panel is looking at expanded testing in high-risk groups, and so we're looking at the priority groups that we are expanding testing in overall, and there's also an expanded set of symptoms that we're seeing included for consideration of testing. What's happening in Porcupine that's different from that is that we are asking anyone with symptoms to call for an appointment for testing. And so it's a great opportunity in that we've recognized that the North is at a different stage in the pandemic, that although we have had community spread here, the guidance for testing, which we've continued to follow as per the ministry and Public Health Ontario and the expertise provided, was really looking at those who had been exposed or those who had traveled. And so now we see not only the expanded testing criteria from the ministry overall, but also being able to expand to those that may not necessarily be in priority groups to see if we have other areas of distribution of COVID-19. Again, the most important thing, no matter how many tests are done or how many are positive, are that we know that the absolutely evidence-based way to prevent the spread is to ensure that people are physically distancing, staying home if unwell in any way, and then also just staying home as much as possible and washing our hands. And so this is an opportunity to see if we have more community spread than potentially recognized. And obviously the important steps of following up on any potential cases and doing contact tracing and making sure that people are staying isolated if we identify cases, which is an important step in preventing spread. But again, recognizing that whether we have symptoms or not, those important steps are really the things that are going to make a difference in reducing the spread overall and protecting all community members.
Are you using that Spartan Cube by any chance?
No. So the Spartan Tube, at this point in time, all the official lab testing is being done through Public Health Ontario labs and other labs across the province. They are using all the lab capacity. That one is still in the procedures of being further assessed and determined how it could be used and in what capacity it could be used, as well as having a look at the parameters of the testing and how it compares to the lab testing at this point in time. So there'll be more to come, but it'll probably be a couple of weeks before we have some specific guidance on where the possibilities may lie with those tests.
One last question. What's the turnaround time for testing like? You know, it's probably put a little bit of pressure with the more tests. So, you know, if someone goes in today to get a test done, I know that some people may have a greater priority than others, but what's the typical turnaround time for a test assessment?
It's really hard to say, Lydia, and I know this is something that everyone always wants to know, and sort of there's always lots of speculation. And I think the one thing I can say is that the labs are really working very, very hard and diligently, and Public Health Ontario is working extremely hard to increase the capacity, support the increased capacity across the system. When you look at the tests that we're reporting today, one was from the 12th, two from the 13th, and one from the 14th. And that does continue to vary, you're right. There's sometimes we're getting results within 24, 48 hours, and sometimes it's a few days. I think the thing to mention is that you're right, there are priorities, and so part of outbreaks, hospitalized patients, certain groups on that priority list online do get priority, and that priority is determined by the labs themselves. It is not determined by the public health unit. Health units are not the ones doing the testing. Again, it is a collaboration with the assessment centers, and the labs are the ones performing the test. And so what happens is labs are sent. When we have transportation time, that obviously does impact any test results. So I can't give any specific answer, and I apologize, and I know that's something people are really looking for. The lab test itself doesn't take very long. I believe it's only about 6 hours. It's just the volume of lab tests when they get into the testing facility that they're going to be tested at, and all of those factors that play a role.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. From here, we'll go to the Timmins and District Hospital.
Hi there, it's Haley with the hospital. So we have had a few inquiries from the public regarding if they are allowed to use personal masks if they are attending the hospital. So we do want to confirm that the hospital is allowing outpatients or individuals who are coming to the hospital to come to the hospital wearing their own masks if they choose. So an example of this could be either a disposable procedure mask, or a lot of people in the community are wearing homemade masks. So you can wear your own mask to the hospital if you're comfortable with that. We encourage everyone to follow the direction of the Porcupine Health Unit in relation to wearing masks in the community. They've provided a lot of really good messaging about that. And as always, the Timmins District Hospital continues to respond to inquiries from the community. So if you do have any questions, please make sure that you contact our general information line at 705-267-2131 or email generalinquiries@tadh.com if you have any questions, and one of our staff will be able to reach out to you. And as always, stay safe, stay home unless it's completely essential, and please wash your hands often. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you, Kaylee. Next, we'll go to the Cochrane DSAP with Brian Marks.
Good afternoon. Emergency Medical Services received 23 calls yesterday, with 13 in Timmins. Four of those failed the screening protocol. Our medics continue to aid with testing at assessment sites across the district and other locations as required. Food security, last night at the Lord's Kitchen, 100 meals were distributed. Distribution went smooth. People continue to monitor social distancing. In addition to those 100 meals, 206 good food boxes were delivered by volunteers and staff from the Anti-Hunger Coalition of Timmins, Timmins Native Friendship Center, and Santé. Thank you to those staff and volunteers. Our homeless numbers remain the same across the three different sites at Northern College, the McIntyre Curling Rink, and Cedar location for living space. For children's services, today we started taking applications for those who require and qualify for the emergency child care. You can see the Cochrane DSAP website at www.cdssab.on.ca for further details. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Brian. We'll go to the media now for any other questions from the presenters.
Yes, Mathieu Grégoire with Radio-Canada, if I may.
Go ahead, Mathieu.
Question to Dr. Catton. I'd like to ask you, like you mentioned, it's been a full month now that we are under a state of an emergency in Ontario. Looking back in the four past weeks, how would you how would you judge, or what conclusions do you come to when you think about the social distanciation measures that have been asked to the public and the way the response from the public? Have you seen a trend, a movement that is challenging for your health unit? You have been really advocating a lot for prevention, but in terms of what you've seen and the numbers of cases each day, I'd like to hear what you think about the for past weeks in terms of the reaction, the response from the public.
Thank you, Matthew. I think it's, you know, a couple of things. One, I think we've done a really good job as far as mobilizing all of the community partners, all of the communities, to really share consistent messaging and to work hard to support all community members and communities, and those who are deemed sort of essential workers, and to recognize that we're all essential in this response. I think that is number one. I think the other thing is it is challenging, and I think it will continue to be challenging, and we need to recognize that. And it's challenging for everyone involved. Things change and evolve. That's the nature of a pandemic. And in public health, we're used to the idea of things changing. And the need to be nimble and respond and adapt as needed as things evolve. And I think it's recognizing that is challenging for everyone at this point in time. We're asking people to do things that they've never been asked before, and for a long period of time, and that's difficult. And I think people are really doing their best. I think we're seeing some changes. We definitely, I can tell you that when we look at cases, and this is not... I think we need to be careful to support everyone, to not be blaming, to not be accusing anyone of absolutely anything, because we recognize that the recommendations have changed over the evolution of this 4 weeks. And so when we see the changes that are in place, and when we see people self-distancing and not visiting with others and not being out in public as much, we definitely see a decrease in potential spread and potential areas of exposure that we need to worry about. And so I think we just thank everyone, absolutely everyone, thank them for their ongoing attention to and dedication to really trying to help flatten the curve and reduce the spread for all community members.
But do you feel that at one point, after a full month and then, you know, coming up to a fifth and sixth week, at one point it will be even more challenging to convince the public of the importance to respect and keep doing these social distancing measures?
I think it's always a challenge, and I think we need to recognize that it's not easy for people to do this. That people are dealing with different circumstances that we may not be aware of. People may not have the traditional supports that some are lucky to have, and that some are dealing with other circumstances that really make this a lot more challenging than others. And so I think it's making sure that we have systems in place to support everyone and to address concerns going forward so that we can continue to do this, because it is extremely important.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tetner. Are there any other questions?
It's Bob at Moose FM. I imagine he's probably planning to talk about this anyway, but I'd like the mayor to tell us about his progeny perspective.
Okay.
Please.
Mayor Perry will grab that in his closing remarks. I think we've got time for one more question, and I think I heard someone else.
Yeah, it's Lydia. It's Lydia. Dr. Catton, you didn't mention the number of negative tests today, and is the extended care outbreak over?
I'm just waiting for one more piece of information for the extended care outbreak, but I believe it is on its way to there, and I expect it to be. And at this point in time, I did not mention the number of negative. No, you are correct, because we are seeing a change in how things are being reported. There are differences in some of the testing, and so you will notice on our chart it is currently under investigation, and that is 260. And so that's going to be a combination of samples with testing in progress.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Now we'll go to Mayor Perry for some closing remarks.
Again, thank you very much for everybody on the line. I don't have much time left here. But thanks to everybody on the front lines and fighting this on a daily basis, those in the hospitals, those outside of the hospitals. We talk about them constantly, and we can't thank them enough. As you're aware, we have three of our retirement homes, per se, that have, although it sounds like extended care is probably out of the woods on this. That's great. The next couple of days are very, very important, from the receiving test back through the St. Mary's and as well Spruce Hill Lodge. You can imagine the families, extended families and friends that will be there's a wall of worry on their shoulders. Be respectful of that. You don't know who's out there filled with worry right now, and be civil. With the last couple of minutes I have here, I will address Bob's question. I think it's very important that we record the views as well as the feelings associated with the younger generation as they work through this. They'll be talking to their grandparents, their grandkids about it, very similar to the way our grandparents talked about the outbreak of the Spanish flu. I do have one, hopefully I can get it in time today, that is uplifting, and it's good afternoon. I heard you were asking for letters that express the feelings towards the COVID-19 virus. So here is my opinion and thoughts on the virus. At the beginning of the virus, I wasn't too afraid because it was halfway across the world. But when I heard it started traveling, I got a little scared. Then when I heard how many people's lives it started taking, that's when it hit me. That's when I started to worry. That's when I took it seriously, because if I wanted to live and not get this virus, I would have to stay inside, wash my hands, more than just before I eat. But if we want this virus to go away, it's not just me that will have to start doing these things. Everyone will have to pitch in. This is where we have to use teamwork skills, because if we all stay inside, the less number of people will get infected, and the ones that are can get cured and back up to good health. Maybe our world will go back the way it was before. I hope that everyone stays indoors and stays safe. Have a good day, and thank you. And that's from Mikhailai Wilkinson, age 13. I think it's very important that we hear the views of this very, very well-grounded, stable, thoughtful, and concerned element of our city here in Timmins. It gives me a great deal of optimism about our future when we get messages like this. So thank you very much, Ms. Wilkinson, for sending that in. With my last thoughts of the day, I would like to say, yes, life goes on, life is normal. People have birthdays, and Hillary Locker has a birthday today. She happens to be 40 years old. It won't be a normal birthday. 40 is usually a pretty important birthday, but she's 40 today. If you know her, or even if you don't know her, wish her well. Bob, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship.
Okay. Thank you, then. We'll be here again tomorrow and Sunday.
All right. Thank you, everybody, and especially thank you to the media for joining us.